The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at this, his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers, and sisters, mother and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When my older brother was graduating from high school, he got a lot of gifts. It's pretty typical in today's world, even if it was a long time ago. There was one gift that my mother worked very hard at. She took three photographs and matted them together and put them in one frame. They were on top of one another. The very top picture was a photograph of my grandfather and his senior class basketball team. And back then, you know how they would hold the ball, and on the ball it would have the year when they graduated. It says, my brother still has this hanging in his home today. It says 1917. And the next picture is a photograph of my father, his senior year in high school, and his basketball team. They're holding the basketball. It says 1943. And then the last photograph at the bottom is a picture of my brother, his senior year, and his basketball team. No basketball this time with the year, but I can tell you what year it was, 1973. I come at being a sports fanatic very honestly. My father was an incredible athlete, and my brother, I have to say, even though I played a few sports, my brother was the athlete in the family. And he was really good at basketball because there were a lot of God-given talents that went with that, but he was also good because my father pushed him in a very healthy way. My father wanted to pass on to him the tricks of the trade, if you will, about how you guard someone, how you shoot a basketball, how you shoot a free throw. And he worked with him all the time. We had a basketball goal in our backyard, and we were close enough in age that if my brother was out practicing basketball with my dad, I was doing something outside as well. And it wasn't unusual for my dad, after my brother, whether he was learning how to guard someone or learning how to shoot a free throw, for my dad to say, okay, well, now wait a minute. There's just one more thing you need to learn. So I called my brother this week. I told him I was preparing for preaching. I said, you remember when Dad used to push you all the time with your basketball practice? He remembered everything better than I could have even remembered. I said, I always heard Dad say to you, okay, there's one more thing you need to learn. And then Jim said, well, yeah, but he sometimes knew he was coming on a little bit too hard, and he would say it in a different way. And when he told me, I remembered. He would say, okay, that's good, but I want you to look at it this way. It was his nice way of saying, there's still one more thing you lack before you become a good free throw shooter. Or one more thing you lack before you really guard someone really, really well. But he pushed and he pushed. My brother ended up playing college basketball at the same college that my father played at. Talk about a proud dad. So when I called my brother this week, my brother is also a movie fanatic. And it's not unusual for us to be telling some family story or talking about somebody, and my brother will say, oh yeah, that reminds me of a movie. And we all just kind of roll our eyes until he gives the example, and it's usually right on target. And while we were talking this week about my father saying, now Jim, there's just one more thing you need to learn, he said, that reminds me of a movie. And of course, we're not face to face. He's living in Chicago. We're talking on the phone, and I rolled my eyes. And he said, John, do you remember the movie City Slickers? I was like, yeah, it wasn't a comedy. So while we're talking, I have my computer laptop on my lap. That's appropriate, I suppose. And I look up City Slickers, made in 1991 with Billy Crystal, some of you may remember. And I Googled it, and the trailer came up, and I watched it. And the reason he wanted me to remember that movie, because there's one point, Billy Crystal's character and all of his buddies are turning 40 years old. They're stressed. They don't like their job. They're in bad marriages. Things aren't going well. So the friends take Billy Crystal for his 40th birthday on a two-week cattle drive to learn about life. And at one point, the person who was in charge of them for the 2 weeks says, do you know what the meaning of life is? And Billy Crystal's character says, no, tell me. And Curly, that's his name, holds up a finger, and Billy Crystal says, what, your finger? And he goes, no, the meaning of life is one thing. And Billy says, or his character says, well, what's that one thing? And he goes, that's what you have to figure out. And the rest of the movie, it's Billy Crystal trying to figure what's the one thing he's missing that will make his life complete. And then my brother laughed as we watched the little trailer, or as I watched it, we're on the phone together, and he said, yeah, Curly was just like Dad, which is true. And as I continued to prepare for preaching the rest of the week, I thought to myself, no, Dad was just like Jesus. Because in the gospel today, a young man approaches Jesus and says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes, I want you to follow all the commandments. And he lists gives this long list of all the commandments. And the young man must have been very happy at that point, because he says, I do those things. I do those things. That means I've got my ticket to heaven. And what does Jesus say? Well, you lack one thing. I want you to take all of your possessions. I want you to sell them. And I want you to give the money to the poor. And it says in the gospel that the young man walks away sad. Why? Because he has many possessions. My friends, I have always thought that if that young man would have looked at Jesus and said, you know what? I think I might do that. I think I can sell all my possessions and I think I can give them to the poor. I think Jesus might have. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I think Jesus could have looked at him and said, you know what? You don't have to. I wanted to see if you were willing to let go of them. Isn't that the lesson from that small situation, conversation? Jesus wanted to know if he was willing to let go of what he had, and he wasn't. Jesus didn't tell him to walk away sad. The young man walked away on his own because he knew that he could not buy into it. That was the context of that conversation. I also am pretty sure that if Jesus had that same conversation with someone else, it might not be about selling everything that you have. It might be about love or mercy. Whatever the person was struggling with, whatever the person could not buy into, that's the one thing lacking. So for you and I today, if someone challenged us and said, what is the one thing that you lack to be a serious citizen of the kingdom? You say, well, I don't know. You know, I don't always love people the way that I should. I like to hold, you know, even though I like them and I work with them, I really don't love them very well. That's the one thing. What if someone else walks up and says, well, I know what we're told to do with forgiveness. You know, forgive 70 times 7, but I tend to hold grudges more. So that's probably the one thing that I'm lacking that keeps me from being a serious citizen of the kingdom. Someone else might walk up and say, you know, I don't really respect people the way that I should. So that would be their one thing that keeps them from the kingdom. You might even have someone, I don't have anything. I do a really pretty darn good job with whatever Jesus asked me to do. And then the spouse says, wait a minute. I got news for you. You like to talk about people. So maybe the one thing that you struggle with is gossip. I mean, I could double this list. I don't know what's on your list or what's on my list. And to be honest with you, if I was really truthful and honest with you right now, I probably have about 5 things on my list. Maybe you do too, I don't know. Or maybe you just have one. The thing about it is, when you figure out what it is, you don't have to walk away sad like the young man. You do not have to walk away sad like the young man. If we approach Jesus and we say, this is my one deal, this is my one hang-up, this is what I can't get past, Jesus is never going to push us away. Jesus is going to open his arms wide and say, come to me. Walk into my arms. I will give you the grace so that you might be healed. That's what Jesus does. I can't tell you what your one thing is. You can't tell me what my one thing is. And don't let me ever try to tell you what it is. But everyone sitting here this morning, every single person has got something that is keeping us from being citizens, serious citizens of the kingdom. So when we figure that out, we ask for God's grace to transform us. I'm going to steal, basically, a line from the second reading. You're welcome to open up your program again if you wish. It's the very last line of the second reading. How appropriate. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we do. And let me paraphrase it just at the end. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us figure out the one thing we lack. And then we may say to ourselves, Lord, have mercy. Is God's grace big enough to take care of my problem? Is God's grace enough to make me a serious citizen of the kingdom? Is God's grace so transformative that it's going to help me? I will leave you with the line from the gospel. With God, all things are possible. Amen.